Hello, and welcome to OK C-SPAN, the only podcast called OK C-SPAN. Hubbub, hubbub, busy newsroom, murmurs, typewriter noises. Typewriter noises, click, 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 typewriter noises.
Is that how you want this to come in?
Yeah. Hubbub, hubbub, busy newsroom, murmurs.
Spotlight animation.
That's right. Mark Ruffalo. Wasn't he? Yeah, he was in that. I was like, oh no, what if that? No, I'm thinking of the Avengers. Hello. Hello, Oklahoma City. I assume, because I don't know why you would live somewhere else and be listening to this, since this is a podcast called OK C-SPAN.
What if it was like a huge hit in Tokyo?
You know, I could see that happening. I could really see it being popular in Madrid. I am a deeply Spanish man. Sí, bienvenido. Ven aquí, por favor. Mis amigos en Madrid. Con su... solamente su... dinero, por favor, mi español es un poco malo, pero es bastante para la cocina. So, welcome everybody. This is a podcast about Spanish, and this is...
Oh, that's why OKC is Span. Okay.
Okay, yes.
Got it.
Oklahoma City, Spanish. Super people and nuts. That's what that stands for. So this podcast is the OK C-SPAN podcast, the only official podcast of my personal brand, OK C-SPAN. You can find us on Twitter. That's at OKC underscore span. But when I write it elsewhere, it's a hyphen. And you know what? Can't have a hyphen in a Twitter handle. So I had to use an underscore.
Which is stupid, by the way.
Well, you know, Jack's... got his problems, right? He's a deeply flawed man.
Nazis and hyphens.
I had my regular account locked recently because I was after a MAPS meeting and I was in a really bad mood. And some dude was like, sure. This much for homeless, this much for mental illness, this much for whatever. And then, but yeah, sure, complain about a sports team that brings billions and billions of dollars a year in tax revenue. And I said, okay, I'll complain about that. I don't like to have to pay for rich people's stuff. And I was like, your turn now. And then I looked at the guy's like tweets and replies, and they were all like, so when's White History Month? And things like that. I mean, I don't think, but it was like that kind of thing. Like, what about Asians? They focus on math and shit like that. And so I told him, I was like, you know, like I replied to my buddy Lavelle and was like, nah, I just realized he's not worth talking to because I looked at his TL. And the guy said, for your sake, I hope that's not how you spend your time. I said, well, for your sake, I hope you die in a fiery automobile accident. And I hope that your family celebrates the end of their relationship with you. And then I hope they bury you face down with your ass sticking out of the ground so I have a place to park my bike.
That is word for word
what the tweet said. And so my account got locked for a day, and it was the worst day of my life. But, I've learned to take it easy. To take it easy. So welcome to this podcast. This is the official and only official podcast of OK C-SPAN. Often imitated, but never duplicated. All the other imitators are just being haters. Mm. All the Slim Shadies are just imitaties. Mm. So, if you don't know, and you do, I assume if you're listening to this, it would be really weird for you to happen across this and decide, yeah, I'm going to listen to this random podcast.
That's the one.
Oh, it's like C-SPAN, but about Oklahoma? Yeah, I'll just listen to that.
It's like the worst TV channel for the worst city? Oh,
okay. I enjoy watching C-SPAN. Thank you very much.
I have had my days. That's how I learned who Cornel West was when I was a very young lad. It was through C-SPAN. Thank you, C-SPAN.
Thank you, C-SPAN.
You know what? You've inspired a generation. Welcome to this podcast. OK C-SPAN is the name of it. And it's my name. My name is OK C-SPAN. Piercy. That's my government name. Please don't use it on the internet. I just use Marty on the internet so that people don't know it's me. That's the dumbest joke I've made today, and I'm really happy about it. Anyway, wanted to do a podcast because when I'm at public meetings during the week, like covering those, it's hard to drill down and get into specifics about things that happen. And I think that that is worthwhile. And also, capitalism, baby. I want to monetize everything I can and ride this wave as far as possible. Now, I really do want to be able to talk about background stuff. Like there's something that happened at this week's, something that didn't happen at this week's county Board of County Commissioners meeting that I had hoped would happen. And so I didn't have much time to talk about that during the meeting because it goes really fast. Most of the meetings do. So, I go to these meetings, whichever ones I typically cover. If the jail trust meets, I go to that meeting. I'll be going to that this coming Monday. I go to the Board of County Commissioners of Oklahoma County every week. I go to City Council of Oklahoma City every other week when they have their meetings. And I just kind of fill in other meetings as I'm able to. As there are meetings like Planning Commission or whatever meeting, especially if I think it's going to be interesting. And then sometimes if it's a good meeting with significant things that happen, I write articles for Oklahoma City Free Press. And even there, though, that's more news, so it's a lot less of my like smartassery that I use in the Twitter feed. So,
which is the most important part,
if you ask me, and if you ask concerned taxpayer Jim Couch, he would agree. Without further ado, I'm going to jump in. Let me just say that I've got two people joining me. You've probably heard both of them laughing hysterically at my very good jokes that I've made so far. One of them, seated to my right, is Nate Ward.
Hello.
That's Nate. He said hello. And then across the table from me, directly across the table from me, is my best friend. Nate, you hear me? She's my best friend.
Cuts to the bone.
it's true, though.
Yep, that's my best friend.
It's my only claim to fame.
No, it's one of several, but it's the main one. That is Katrina Ward that you hear over there.
Yo.
Hi, Katrina. Today is the 7th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2019. May he rest in peace.
So, I don't know. Were you reading that meeting agenda and saw that it started with a prayer there? May he rest in
peace. Okay, goodness gracious. Sorry. Today is September 7th, 2019. So on Wednesday, September 4th, there was the regular meeting of the Oklahoma County Board of County Commissioners.
It's a long name.
It is, and that's me being overly fancy about it and precious. You know, it's just the BOCC is when I make a calendar and send it to like Brett Dickerson from Free Press so that he knows what I might be covering that week. I just say BOCC because why would I say all that? But
as like in the noise chickens make.
So Bach. What is the deal? What is the deal with airline food? So on Wednesdays, that board meets, and the Board of County Commissioners are the bosses of the county. I'll leave it at that, and I'll get back to that at the end of this episode of this podcast. But let me say, first of all, I tweet about this all the time, but at the beginning of those meetings, I get there early so I can review the agenda yet again, even though I've already read it by the time I go there. And the deputy of District 2, his name is Steve Satterwhite, pretty pleasant man, got like the gravelly voice of a lifelong smoker, aggressively chews gum. I think he has transition lenses because usually when he comes in, they're like kind of half dark, his glasses are. But he comes and he sits in the District 2 Commissioner Mon's seat. And I speculate that he's more warming it up, because nobody likes a cold chair. And two, he really doesn't seem to be doing anything but fidgeting around, just, you know, futzing, if you will. I speculate he's warming up that chair and making sure there are no assassins crouching below the desk, waiting for Commissioner Mon, who has many enemies, let me tell you. So he always sits, and I tweet about it every time. And so it's come to pass in the last few months, a lot of people in the county courthouse annex building follow OK C-SPAN on Twitter, including Steve Satterwhite. And also Miles Davidson, who is the District 3 deputy. And he will say, like, Steve's not in his chair. I'm like, he missed him. He's already sitting there early. You know, Cody will go up there to put something. Cody Compton's the District 1 deputy. He'll go to put something at Commissioner Blumert's seat. And he'll just, like, make a show out of looking. Nope. No assassins under here like that to me. But it always amuses me that he just kind of sits there and, like, let me just settle down. And I'm like, sometimes Commissioner Mon is late, and so Steve will have left the seat, and then he'll, like, oh, it's time to start, and he'll go up and sit there. And then Mon shows up as the meeting's being called to order, and he just kind of, oh, he's here, and goes and sits down. And I think it'll happen one day, Steve.
Do you think he's just, like, seeing how it feels?
I doubt it, because he's been there for a while. He's not new to the job, but I really don't know what he's doing, and it doesn't matter. I really don't want to, because my imagination about it's much better. So what happens at the beginning of every meeting, it starts at 9:01, 02, whatever, when they're gaveled in. They call the meeting to order. They say all commissioners are present, and then they say this spiel about notice this meeting was properly posted on August 30th, 2019, blah, blah, blah. And that's just to say that it's in keeping with the Open Records Act of Oklahoma. And then, totally appropriately, totally normal, totally, really, actually good and awesome,
they just proceed with business as usual?
You would think. Surprisingly, no, they pray. They have a prayer every time. And this week, And it's let me just make sure that you know, in all of my time going to these meetings, it has always been a prayer to the one true God of Abraham, Jehovah. Once it was a rabbi, but still the one true God of Abraham. I have heard that Imam Inchasi once delivered the prayer, and also God of Ibrahim, sorry, same God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, same guy. May he rest in peace. the year of our Lord, 2019. Anyway, so this week, it's always, so they rotate, each of the commissioners can invite somebody. So frequently, nobody tries. And so it's like the guy who runs emergency management. And let me tell you, his prayers are very Christy indeed. They are very, very Christian-y prayers. Mm. Lord Jesus, thank you for
the
troops.
I know what you're talking about.
Like Talladega Nights.
It is, yeah.
Lord baby little Jesus. Baby,
8-pound, 5-ounce baby Jesus. Like it is very, like it is, God, please bring a ribbon for each troop and fly an eagle above an airplane, Lord Jesus, and allow us to bomb the infidels. And it's just so Christy.
That's Christy.
Well, I mean,
the shoe fits.
Christian is as Christian does.
Friend Christian, who was a very delightful human being.
Yeah, he's one of the 7 best friends that any guy could have. So. Yeah, no, it's just a weird thing to me. I would attend meetings in Chicago as needed, and I don't think I ever sat through a prayer at a government meeting in Chicago. Mm. I believe that if I went to a Little Rock City Council, I'd probably have to sit through a prayer. Mm. But I don't know. It's weird to me. Anyway, let people do what they want. I tweet through the prayer, and then they say the Pledge of Allegiance, and I put my phone in my pocket, and I cross my hands in front of me or behind my back so as to say, I respect your traditions, but I don't pledge my allegiance to anything. I've pledged my allegiance to my spouse, Jo Beth Hammond, and even that's negotiable. I don't plan to back out of that, but could if necessary. If she starts praying for an eagle and a troop to get on a plane and bomb an infidel, I'm going to probably withdraw my allegiance.
Allegiance revoked.
Allegiance revoked. So this week at the meeting, it was District 3 Commissioner Kevin Calvey's turn to invite someone to pray. And he brought, man, I wish we had a soundboard because I would make it like the whole audience going, oh. He brought one of his 6 or 7 children, his daughter, to pray. And pray she did. It was cute because I got there and there was this like little step stool. The kind that you'll see in offices where they roll, you could kick it across the room, but you stand on it it depresses, so it presses against the ground and keeps
the
wheels.
Like the library ones.
Yes, exactly. Precisely so. It was sitting in front of the podium, and I thought, oh, what is this? It must be someone very short indeed going to deliver the prayer. And then a child entered the gallery, and I realized, oh, yes, that is who. There's no question in my mind. And, and she prayed, and she said, Dear Jesus. So that's when everybody would go, oh, again. But you know what was actually cute was that after she prayed and led the Pledge of Allegiance, which I did not say, I did not pledge. Anyway, she led the pledge, and she prayed first, led the pledge, and then Commissioner Calvey put a little chair by his seat, and she sat there with him, and he got her to help him press the voting buttons. It was cute.
That's cute.
Yeah. Also, what happened at the beginning of that meeting was that the gavel was passed to District 1 County Commissioner Kerry Blumert, who will now act as the chair of that board for the remainder of the year. Also, excitingly enough, minutes were approved. After that was a
So exciting.
I know. Yeah, they entered him into the record. Yeah.
Wow.
As amended.
What an incredible function of government.
It really is fascinating. So the consent agenda is next. And most meetings, most organizations have a consent agenda. And that is a list of things too boring to talk about. The consent agenda is typically passed as one item because they're, I mean, let me read you from this week's agenda. A couple of consent agenda items. Discussion and possible action for approval of tin horn installation, Richards District 2.
Tin horn?
A tin horn, yeah. That's a big metal tube. It's made of tin. That it should form sort of a horn. No, it is a big metal tube on a dirt road, you know, at the end of your driveway when you were a kid, how the where the ditch is and the water's got to go under the driveway. It goes through a tin horn.
That's called a tin horn?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not shaped like a horn. I feel like that's misleading.
It's not. Oh, you're thinking of a tin corn. It should be shaped like a horn. That's why we call it a unicorn. If it was a unihorn, it would be a tube, like a, you know, like from a paper towel roll. So let me tell you, items 7, 8, 9, and 10 of the consent docket were all tin horn installations, tin corns. Boring. So every time I'm like, it goes really quick. And I'm like, then I look back at it. I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God they put that on the consent docket. One could pull something, one being one of the commissioners could pull something from the consent agenda in order, or the consent docket in order to vote separately or to discuss separately, but that is really rare. So then we'll go through departmental items. So this will be items from each individual district, as well as like the county clerk, the court clerk, engineering department, facilities department, sheriff's department. Because the Board of County Commissioners really are the boss of the county. They are the business. They are like the executive branch of county government, right? They're in charge of all of that. And so there weren't a lot of interesting items this week. Let's see. One, though, was District 1 had an item to purchase a new 2019 Ford F-150 pickup truck for District 1 use. It's $35,000. And here's why they needed it.
Yes, a lot of dollars.
Well, that's what a truck costs, isn't it?
I've never tried to buy a truck.
Why not?
Because I think trucks are silly.
Well,
unless you need to move, and then they're very not silly.
That's right. You want a friend that has one. Well, Katrina, I would say to you, man up. Get yourself a truck. No, I don't want a truck either, but I do want to borrow one sometimes when I need, like you say, when I need to move.
You said item 11 is a truck?
Yes.
Is item 12 truck nuts? Truck?
I'm going to ask Commissioner Bloomert about that next time that we talk. So why? When is the purchase of truck nuts for the new truck going to come on the agenda? Good. Well, so here's why I was excited for this item is because a few weeks ago, District 2 had an item for purchase of a 15-passenger van. And Commissioner Bloomert of District 1 asked Commissioner Mon of District 2, is this for county business? Now, I know what Commissioner Bloomert meant was, is this for county business or is this for the SHINE program, which is a work program for people to work off fines and, you know, it's sort of like a community service program. I knew that's what she meant, but she just said, is this for county business? And my understanding is that Commissioner Mon was very hurt by this. How dare my integrity be impugned? Madam, finally.
How dare you ask me a question?
Well, finally, madam, have you no shame? All of that to say, I was really excited when I saw this item, and I was hoping that when it came before the board that Commissioner Mon would say, now, Commissioner Bloomert, is this for county business?
Is that what he sounds like?
A little bit. I said earlier I was going to try to not do any kind of bad, like unkind. Brian is really nice to Miss Commissioner Mon. He always takes my calls when I have a question for a story. He always takes my calls. He'll return a call if he's out of the office immediately when he gets back. So I'm not really making fun of him. I was really hoping he'd be like, Commissioner Mon, you know, or Commissioner Bloomert. But instead he goes, I move the item. And Calvi said, I second. And they unanimously voted to buy that pickup truck. How about it?
Man.
Yeah, so no drama in spite of what I was hoping for. One more thing about a part of that meeting that had nothing to do with him is that they kept the agenda for that meeting had several items about memoranda of understanding. And every time it said memorandum of understandings, and it really like is goofballs. Like that bothers me. But so now engineering brought three items and they were each new bridges, one per district. How do you like the symmetry of that?
That's nice.
Sounds to me like the fix is in. Sounds like government graft.
It sounds to me like District 1 was building a bridge and District 2 got jealous.
Yes, and they had to build another bridge. And
District 1 said, well, you can build a bridge and get over it.
Oh, damn. Damn, Commissioner Bloomer. Oh, you didn't have to do them that way. They have worked together extensively because, like, up around Jones, the flooding of the North Canadian River, and there's a bridge that goes to Jones, and it is the only way to get the kids to school in Jones. And so they did a lot of work over there together. So I just thought it was fun that each district gets a new bridge. Now, there was an item. Get this. Guys, are you ready? Secure your socks, because they're about to get rocked off. Item 18, from purchasing. Discussion and possible action for the Board of County Commissioners to review and approve the purchasing agent's recommendation regarding a sole source purchase for the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office Muffin Monster repair parts.
Muffin Monster?
Yes, ma'am.
And they need to repair it?
Why? Do you know the Muffin Man?
No.
Have you ever met this guy?
No.
The Muffin Man? Yeah, the Muffin Monster. I got a source close to the commission texted me on my way down there and said, just so you know, today's agenda includes an item that mentions a muffin monster. And I was like, hells yeah, it's going to get lit up in this county commission meeting. Well, do you want to know what a muffin monster is?
I really do.
Commissioner Bloomer brought it up and before voting, she said, just out of curiosity, who here knows what a muffin monster is? And I happened to be sitting near Anna Langthorne, and she and I looked at each other and did not raise our hands and craned my neck around, and almost everybody else in that room had their hand up.
What?
And the other two commissioners had their hands up, and of course the engineer did and purchasing agent did. And she said, I had to ask. And then she explained, and you know what it is? It's like a garbage disposal.
No!
For the sewer.
Oh,
why is it
that's
called
gross.
A muffin monster?
Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to, my man.
I really wanted it to be like some sort of muffin-making machine that was so what, good the, at it.
What if you found out that it was, in spite of what it was just
no.
See, that's what I was looking at it, and I was like, these sons of guns at the sheriff's office, these ne'er-do-wels, these no-goods over
they
here.
They stopped going out for donuts. Kind of
a, yeah, exactly right.
They got
exactly,
a
that's
what,
exactly
to
what I thought it was. Like, I expected an Otis Spunkmeyer machine of some sort, and no, instead, it chews up and grinds poop so that the sewer doesn't get too stopped up.
And converts it into muffins.
Oh, yes. Soylent Green is people. No, that is the worst. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Now, let me say something about that, though. Apart from what I find amusing about that, which is mostly the fact that it's called a muffin monster, and secondarily, because poop, and that's funny. But what's not funny about that, and what's really weird to me, is that that is a sole source purchase. Now, let me explain what that means. That means that there is only one company that they will buy parts and services from. For that machine.
So they won't put it out for a bid.
They will not. They will not put that out for a bid. And
why?
That's not common. And in fact, it's so uncommon that at the county level, they have to reapprove this purchasing agreement once a year. Like they have to come back and say it once a year. Now, the reason why is because that's a pretty specialized thing. Mm. And the prices are not going to vary very much. There's two varies, mm-hmm. but different varies, right?
Yes.
There's not going to be much of a price variance, perhaps from year to year, except for normal, what you would expect, for that to increase. But also because, just like your audio setup here and, in kind of studios in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, coming to you live. So when you asked me, Nate, to kind of keep an eye on your levels, you had to tell me exactly what I was looking for. And even then, I wasn't confident about it. But you didn't worry a bit. You just had me make a bunch of noise, and you're like, okay, you're set, right? Same thing. If you've been working on this muffin monster for the last 5 years, I've come in. I'm the maintenance guy for your muffin monster. Hi, it's me, John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm here to work on your muffin monster. It's how I assume that
it's
conversation
me,
goes.
The muffin man.
Hi. Do you know me?
I live on Drury Lane.
But so, you know, like I'd rather a tool as important as a muffin monster, guys. I think we can all agree we want that to be properly. No, but we do. We want that to be properly maintained. It's just pretty uncommon. And so I thought that was worth noting that we had that. So, what comes after the departmental items are recurring agenda items. The next item is discussion and possible action to approve blanket purchase orders. It's not what I hoped.
Are they like purchasing blankets?
No. Now, there might be some purchase orders where the blankets are included, but no, it's not a blanket purchase order like you really want it to be, like yeah. Comfy, cozy. Mm-hmm. Oh. Autumn's almost upon us.
Everybody gets a blanket.
Let's purchase some blankets.
You get a blanket. Yeah. You get a blanket. Everybody gets a blanket.
Exactly. One other thing that was interesting was land acquisition in Crutcho Park area. And let me tell you what that was about because people were asking after the meeting. So that is FEMA money that the county receives to buy out residents in the area to purchase their homes and property from them because their homes are in a floodplain. Now, this is voluntary for those residents. You know, you can't, like, you get home insurance. It does not cover flooding, right? You have to get flood insurance from the federal government. And so that's true. And so to counteract that, since they're in a floodplain and the North Canadian River shows no signs of ceasing to flood during rainy seasons as our climate becomes more erratic, which is proven science. And so if you don't believe that, then you can go eat a science book. So
if you don't believe that, just go ahead and give this podcast a 1-star review and tell us at length how you feel about it.
Give it a 5-star review and tell us at length why you disagree about climate change and the existence of science. May he rest in peace. So the reason that the county is purchasing, and so that specific, we're in phase 6, I believe it was, of this process as a county.
Out of how many phases?
What's going to be like 7 or 8 phases. Mm-hmm. And so this was the 76th home purchased by the county in Crutcho out of a maximum of 105 homes that the county will purchase, can purchase. And again, it's voluntary. So nobody's getting run off their land. But I mean, you think about places like Pitcher, Oklahoma, if you've ever heard of, like there are holdouts and there are like 3 houses or like those, you know, where the mine fire, the coal seam fire in Pennsylvania, how there are like 3 people still living in the town and they're slowly being poisoned by carbon. I mean, it's really bad. So hopefully everybody will sell their property and move out. When those properties, now part of the FEMA agreement for FEMA to pay for the county to purchase those properties is that we can't build any structures there. Now, there are, my understanding is there are some contractors who have reached out to the county about mining sand, making sand pit out of that, at which point there will be a pit, right? So it's a very Parks and Rec kind of a vibe.
They fell
into the pit. But so what the developers who have asked after that and are seeking to contract that, they will, if that contract ever gets considered and awarded to a company, they will be obligated to, at the end of their mining of the sand in that area, and that's for concrete and stuff like that. It's a company like, say, DeLisi, who, you know, the pretty major concrete company. So if DeLisi got to develop that and mine that sand at the end, they would have to build something there that would be like a park, or they would help create a man-made lake there, something like that.
Cool.
So it sounds like a boondoggle, but it's not a boondoggle. It's really just a normal. We were discussing off mic that we need a button that I can push when there's a boondoggle. And that's what I imagine the sound effect would be, like morning DJ radio style. So they do the purchase order. They do the whatever. They approve claims. And then they each get an opportunity to make remarks. This is the time during which Commissioner Mon usually tells us that someone has died who's associated with the county. Oh. Like, he's been there the longest, and go figure, a lot of young people aren't rushing to public service at the county level these days. It's just not like what you think of doing.
With thrilling things like the Muffin Monster, why would you not be?
Exactly. What if I told you that the top salary that a county employee could be paid is $105,000?
That's a lot of dollars.
My man, sign me up.
I will repair that Muffin Monster, I think, for that kind of money. They don't all make $105,000. Let me say that, too. Like, it's more typical, like $38,000, $40,000 is what you might be making as a, you know, a screw over the jail, you know, like whatever. But anyway. So the commissioners make remarks, and this week, instead of Brian Mon, as I said on Twitter, Commissioner Carrie Bloomert took on the mantle of the grim specter of death, the harbinger of doom.
Person with gavel.
Well, she's a chairperson, but she also was the one who said that someone died. That's usually not her. But it was. So then they recess to executive session, and now we can't know. We are not allowed. That's why I always call it like a secret occult meeting, you know. They go back to executive session and they meet with their counsel.
Lawyers, right?
Their lawyers. about claims or suits or whatever that are that they're involved in at the county level, and then they come back into regular session and reconvene, and they make recommendations based on what they heard there. And so one said there was a suit from a claim in Steve and Dina Marler versus the city of Oklahoma City and others, and the et al. In this case includes the county, right? Who knows what that's about? But they made a recommendation to disclaim due to unpaid ad valorem taxes. So whatever they were judgment they were trying to seek against the county's like, we haven't paid property taxes in forever, so we don't owe you anything. In fact, you owe us, so we're not worried about it, right? Oh. And that's kind of how that goes. But the most interesting thing, there was one also where they decided to accept an amount of $5,057.53 or something. So I don't know what it's about. But what was really interesting, and I'm going to say this because I want, you know, like this is something that might come up and be interesting later. This is definitely going to be a story, but they recommended to, they voted to direct the DA to set up a visit to the detention center for the Department of Justice. Hmm. Yeah, right? Hmm. Yeah, exactly right. Like, I don't know what that's about, but I bet we'll hear more about it in the not too distant future. And trust me, your friend of mine, Marty Piercy, he's on the case. I'm going to be paying attention. So then they adjourn the Board of County Commissioners and reconvene as the Public Buildings Authority. And that's a public trust. And we can talk more about that some other time if you want to know what the public trust is. And nothing very interesting happened there, except, and it usually isn't interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote an article about Commissioner Bloomer bringing an item to build out a security kiosk for to be manned by, to be personed by sheriff's deputies for the Investors Capitol building. That is where Commissioner Bloomer, Commissioner Calvi, the public defender, all of their offices are there, as well as a bunch of private businesses. And somehow this turned out to be controversial, something I didn't expect. So I've written two articles about it now. One was published just yesterday afternoon, September 6th, my sister's birthday. That's what I gave her for her birthday. It was an article about security at the Investors Capitol building, a.k.a. the ICB, Insane Clown Building. But every time, once in a while, I see it and I'm like, Insane Clown Building. I can't stop myself. But that didn't come up this time, and in the PBA meeting. But what did happen, this was like just weird, like the county's really formal about stuff. Like if, you know, if a citizen brings comment, they can't respond because it's not an agenda item. And the district attorney, David Prater, takes a very narrow view of the Open Meetings and Open Records Act, and he won't allow them to respond like by rule. But so for the PBA, Commissioner Bloomer, the chair, had last week's agenda. Like, it was really strange. Like, she said that she brought the minutes from August 16th or whatever, and it was like, no, that's not right. And then got to a departmental item, and it was wrong, and we all went, oh, wait. And so they went back and redid the notice of the meeting, but I don't think that she – I don't think that they corrected the entering of the minutes because they had the wrong – they had the wrong minutes that she declared, at least. And I just thought, man, we might have to do this whole meeting over again. We didn't, and that is good. But now that was a boring meeting, and it's usually boring and pretty short. And really, altogether, that whole meeting usually takes right around an hour. Well, I went to one more meeting this week, and it was a meeting that I've never been to, but I've always wanted to. And that was the meeting of the Central Oklahoma Transportation and Parking Authority. And now this is basically the people in charge, the trustees that are in charge of MBARC. Because I don't know if people realize it or not, but like the Arts Garage, most of the parking garages downtown are owned by the city of Oklahoma City, and they are operated by MBARC. MBARC, if you don't know, get to know it. I don't know why you don't know this, but MBARC is our public transit system, our buses, and Spokies as well. And we have some boats on the river. I'm not kidding.
Are they in charge of the trolley?
Yep. Thank you for calling.
The streetcar.
Thank you for calling the trolley.
We call it the trolley.
We call it the trolley. I went in and sat in that meeting and saw Michael Scroggins, is the PR and marketing guy from Embark. I like him a lot. We interact quite a bit on Twitter, and I've known him in person. Nodding acquaintance or better for a couple of years, but I said hello to him, and he called me Marty. And the guy behind me, like a real beefy ass, like union rep, but with a suit on, like he's like a big dude. He wasn't bald, but his hair was cut very short, and it's the same length as his beard, his hair, you know, and like tough looking guy, big neck, you know, tough looking guy. And he goes, "Are you the Marty?" And I went, "Gotta be the gotta be the Marty you're thinking about." And he said, "I'm Jesse Rush. I work on the streetcar. The trolley." He was a very charming guy, and he gave a presentation during that meeting that was great. But we got to hear a pretty neat presentation on the ridership survey, the user survey that was administered in March, and like a lot of good data. I tweeted a bunch of it. You can see it on OKC underscore span on Twitter, but some interesting stats that came out of that I thought were particularly noteworthy is that 70% of people using the bus are using it to get to work. I know in Oklahoma City, we have a lot of stigma about using the bus, which I think is stupid.
Stupid.
But like, you know, I'm spoiled, right? I like trial by fire, I moved to Chicago and like, you don't know how to use a bus and you won't learn and you stay in at home, right? Buses are cheap, convenient. They're smart for cities. They're smart for individuals because they're cheaper than having a car. Public transit is great. I don't think I make any bones about how big of a fan of public transit I am, but 70%. The bus is not just for people with DUIs, right? The bus is not just for, you know, it's not just people going to the Homeless Alliance or the day shelter. It's not people just riding the bus back and forth because they don't have anything to do. That's nonsense. Like, they don't have anything to do. They're not going to spend $2 to ride the bus back and forth, right? So it's $1.75 a ride, by the way. I don't know why I said $2, but let me just clarify that. A shocking amount, I don't remember the number, bus users reported a household income of less than $20,000.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so these are people who are working for a living and they're not making very much out of it. And so they usually, the number one reason that they are taking the bus, not the purpose for their trip, but the reason they take the bus, because they don't have a car, right? I own a car and I take the bus, right? My wife does not own a car. And I will not let her. No, it's not that I won't let. Like, she doesn't need a car. We walk, we ride our bike, we take public transit, and we live downtown. So that's more convenient for us than it is for some people and in other neighborhoods. But that's really important to me to underscore that. Conversely, streetcar ridership, the lion's share of people taking the streetcar were taking it for arts and entertainment consumption. The majority of them were visitors. And the majority of them reported a household income of over $50,000.
Also, most of them were white.
That's true. The ridership for the bus was pretty diverse, but the ridership for the streetcar was not very diverse. And gosh, almost nobody said they were taking it to work. Now they might
because
take
how
it.
How could you?
Right. Well, I guess I could. I could hop on it at the memorial and take it all the way to Bricktown and then back up and get off by the library and walk across the city hall to cover a meeting. I just have to plan to leave the apartment 45 minutes to an hour early.
If you just really liked getting up an hour before work, like an hour long commute to go half a mile.
Well, I really like to read and I just don't make enough time for myself in the mornings. But when I made fun of the streetcar on Twitter, on my regular Twitter account, which is at Marty Piercy. That's P-E-E-R-C-Y. Follow me on Twitter. You'll find I'm charming. No. but I made fun of the streetcar, and boy, people got in my mentions about it. And Jack Fowler texted me. He said, "Marty, people defending the streetcar on your Twitter is my Vietnam." And then I said something about it. He goes, "But Marty, how will low-income seniors make it from McNelly's to Tap Works in about 45 minutes, you know. But this is a really good bit of information, and I will, they're going to make that information public, and I'll tweet that on both accounts probably because it's really interesting. There's a school. It's a high-end school, Westminster, here in Oklahoma City.
I mean, sounds like it's in a castle.
I know, right? They might as well call it.
That's a middle school. I don't know. It's a middle school, I believe, right?
It is a junior high. Right, right. Now, these kids are from wealthy families, but these kids are educated in a way that they really do care about in whatever fashion they are able to be exposed. They care about the community. The first year when I was with Curbside, the first year that we did Mother's Day flower campaign, bouquet campaign, they sponsored it. The kids did, not the school. And how they did that is that, like, in sixth grade or so, they start an enterprise idea, and the money that makes, they can't keep it. It's not like they split it up among the students. That's not appropriate. So they always, when that class is in, like, seventh or eighth grade, they use that money for some good cause in town. And so they sponsored us. They paid for us to do that flower campaign for Mother's Day that first year.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's not like, I don't know, say the Wheeler District. It's like the total opposite
Let's
of something. I pulled that out of the air. You know, like this group of earnest young people who have every advantage and decide that they want to use those advantages to help people, as opposed to, say, like, I don't know, like some local family of robber barons deciding they want to sanitize their image by making a similar donation. Totally different thing. And so I kept my job when those kids gave us money. I kept that job. Don't work there anymore, though. For some reason. Anyway, I learned that there's another class project by a group from that school called Wheels to Work. And I'd really encourage you to look it up. They're on Twitter. But one thing they did is they got partnership from Embark, and they got a whole lot of bus passes to just distribute. But also they raise money to buy bikes for
I've seen the bike thing.
Not the Wheels Project, different bike thing.
Oh, okay.
But it's the same kind of idea. Okay. These kids are using money to buy bikes. I would say, since it came up, that the Wheels Project is a nonprofit organization based in Oklahoma City, and it's operated by a friend of mine, Leisha Dunlap, who works at ICG, and that's sort of where she bases the Wheels Project. Donate money to them if you're looking for a place to donate money. They buy bikes, and they'll buy a bike custom, like specifically, like I would get bikes for curbside vendors, you know, and I would talk to them about what their needs were for a bike. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you usually go? You know, maybe it's a lady who's really short, so I need a low step through or whatever, and they'll buy the bike for that.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Person. They bought bikes for, we had these vendors, Bruce and Lisa. Bruce is very tall and narrow. Lisa is short and not very narrow. And they have a big old beautiful dog named Baby Girl. She's like an 80-pound pit. And they bought a tall bike for Bruce, a bike with a low step through for Lisa, and a trailer that attached to Bruce's bike that's for a kid, and Baby Girl goes with them on their bike rides.
That's when amazing.
They go that is to do so work. Sweet.
Yeah, they're great. And so if you're looking for a way to help, because a bicycle is a freedom machine, man. I mean, like that is a life-changing thing for a person who's experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness to be able to have a bike. The difference between going from like where Bruce and Lisa lived to my office at the Homeless Alliance was two buses, and you're at the mercy of that schedule. Mm. And so that's a half an hour to 45 minutes, sometimes longer if you're unlucky, versus about a 12 to 15 minute bike ride straight there, right? From there, from where they moved in. So I just really, that's a big deal to me. And that has nothing to do with OKC Span, except for it just came up. One more item from that COTPA meeting was that BRT is on its way, man. Yeah, they got the environmental approval from the Federal Transit Authority. And so that means they get to start engineering soon. So that's good news.
Do you want to explain what BRT is for people who don't know?
Sure. That is Bus Rapid Transit. That is going to be hopefully dedicated bus lane, but that will be a bus that runs largely express and has fewer stops, but it goes further and much faster and with a higher frequency. And so this will be a way that out of nowhere, you'll be able to comfortably and safely take the bus from downtown to, you know, anywhere along Northwest Expressway. Again, comfortably, safely, and quickly, instead of what now would take a couple of buses and would take a long time. It's going to be a huge thing, and that's going to be our first line. And then we're going to work on having a BRT line south and one northeast, and that's pretty exciting. So,
how do you feel about the fact that the first bus rapid transit project is in the northwest sector of the city, though, where it's arguably maybe less necessary?
It's potentially less necessary, but it is also where most of our people are concentrated, people who use those services. I mean, working with people who are experiencing a great deal of poverty and being part of that community for the last several years, those are a lot of our main bus riders, and that's where they're going. That's where they stay, is in Northwest Oklahoma City. It's where services are for the most part, is in Northwest Oklahoma City. And it's where, like, it's just such a densely populated part of town that it's where a lot of the lower wage jobs are. So I'm for it, and I'm for it with the understanding that, yeah, we are going to work on getting BRT to go south and BRT to go northeast. This is a very easy and practical solution to an existing problem, and we'll see some of the benefits, and that will help us create these two new lines in the future. That's my take on it. I could be wrong.
No, that's helpful to know. Thank you for sharing that.
That's my thinking on it. Now, so that was it for meetings this week. And this is the first episode, so it was a little bit long. Also, like I said, you probably already follow OKCSPAN on Twitter, I have to assume. Otherwise, please do let me know why you found this podcast and decided to listen this far into it. We want to encourage people to ask questions. If there's some part of county or city government process that you're curious about, if I don't know the answer to your question, I will find out the answer to your question, because I want everybody to be a little more engaged and know more. It's how we keep our government honest. And really, the truth is, I want you to vote for Senate. I want you to vote for president. I want you to vote for governor. I want you to vote for state Senate and state House. If you want to make a difference in your neighborhood, you vote for city council. You vote for your county commissioner seat. You show up for those
district attorney.
Definitely show up for district attorney when that comes up. We'll definitely cover that when it's coming. But I just want to say that, like, if you want to make an impact, if you want to know that your vote is going the distance, there's one councilman who's not running again next time, but that the entirety of the vote of his very large ward was less than 1,000 people. So if you want to show up, if you want to run for office, talk to me about it, and we can discuss what some steps are that you might want to take or whatever. Reach out to people like Andy Moore from Let's Fix This. And anyway, I really thank you for joining. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me on Twitter. If you tweet that, I will keep a record of it. And next week, when we come back and record again, I will respond to those questions, okay?
Also, be on the lookout for lots of fun updates coming to OKC.
Yeah, there's some new stuff coming up. You probably heard. I can't say exactly what, but they might rhyme with memerts. Queequerts.
That joke's just even worse in an actual audio format.
Memerts. So, yeah, we've got some new stuff coming up that's pretty exciting. And so be on the lookout for that. I would really enjoy your support financially, because this is what I do for a living, is this and writing articles about things like this. So I'm on Patreon. You see the link in my bio on Twitter. And I accept tips via Venmo, Cash App, PayPal. It's Marty Piercy, at Marty Piercy. Hashtag
that's two E's.
That is two E's, yes. So I want to thank you again for joining us, and thank you, Nate, and thank you for Katrina. Thank you for Katrina, Nate.
You are welcome. I bestow her unto you for this podcast.
I appreciate the.
No one can bestow me. I bestow myself.
That's right.
That's for sure.
Well, thank you, Nate, for being here and for engineering this podcast. Katrina, thank you for being here and being so helpful and being my best friend. And Nate, thank you for being not my best friend, but another friend of mine.
I'll take it.
Guys, I like you a lot.
Same.
Same here.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. See you next week.
Bye.
Busy newsroom. Murmurs. Typewriter noises. I've been and shall remain your host, Marty Piercy. This has been OKC Span, a Kind of Company production.